This is Due By Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, meditate like a venture capitalist.
Hi, how's it going? We're early. What's happening? What's happening with this show?
We've just been sitting here waiting for you.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm so sorry. I haven't urinated yet.
You should. Do you need to go do that?
I could use the jug. I could mute it.
I don't know if it's real, and I don't know if I want to know if it's real.
I just listen. I just emptied it last night. I try to empty at least a couple times a week. It's the Clorox 3.78 quart regular bleach.
Mm.
Kills cold and flu viruses.
Oh, good.
It's pretty empty. There's a little bit in there.
Well, you shouldn't need that, though, because isn't pee sterile, or is that just something that sitcoms
use? I've heard mixed things about this. I know there's a thing where people drink their pee in the morning. That's a thing. I think that's a life hacker kind of thing. You need to be a 90s kid to understand to deal with this pee. 15 times your urine was all of us. This jug of pee is everything.
I bet Tim Ferriss just wakes up in the morning, turns over, and is like, out his catheter and uses it.
I return no.
Straw.
Oh my God, you think he sleeps with a catheter?
No, I don't know. His body is an experiment. His body is a lab.
His body's a microchip.
Yeah.
The microchip has been compromised. All right, I'm not going to talk this week. I talked too much last week.
I disagree.
Okay, I'm going to go pee pee. I'm going to mute it, and I'll be right back.
Guess what musical I'm going to see tonight?
I don't know what.
Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. You are not.
I am with Wayne Brady playing Hamilton.
Oh, I've heard he's really nice. Is Dave Chappelle going to be Aaron Burr?
Wait, is he?
No.
No.
Oh.
No.
Wait, okay. How much, like real talk, how much do you actually know or have heard from Hamilton?
I've listened to the soundtrack.
You have heard it. Okay.
Yeah, I've like listened to some songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen to some songs?
I have not listened to the whole soundtrack.
Okay.
I've like listened
it's
to
long.
Like
it's really
some
long.
Songs. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's long. Yeah, I think I'm going to be bored, but we'll see what happens.
You're going to be sobbing.
It's no Les Mis, I'll tell you that right now, right out of the gate.
It's no Castle in the Cloud.
No Castle in the Cloud. I'm going to go to a Castle in the Cloud in my imagination while I'm bored with Hamilton.
You on your phone the whole time.
I'll be tweeting. I'm applying for this law program at Northwestern. I'm actually going through with this thing. And the application was due on March 15th, which is today. So I took the application. I had my assistant, Kara, print out all the requirements for applying to this thing. And I put together a little folder of all the work I needed to do and brought it on the cruise. And I was like, on the cruise, I'm going to read this information, figure out what needs to happen, and then prepare my application and like write my personal statement and do all this nonsense that needs to happen. Like make a resume. My last resume that I made was in 2011. And get all this nonsense together and then apply for this law program that I'm going to do. Obviously did not open the folder or look at it once during the cruise. I was way too drunk and eating way too many gravies and to do anything productive. And then I got home from the cruise on the 13th and I was like, well, I'm pretty sleepy and I have to unpack, so I'm not going to deal with it today, but I do have two more days. And then yesterday I wound up pretty busy, so I was like, well, I'll just do it after work. I'll stay late. And then so I started working on it at like 5 o'clock and I opened it up and boy, it's a lot of work. It's like hard to update your resume and like, you know, boil yourself down into just like a page of information. And plus I needed like transcripts from my college and like letters of recommendation from people.
Oh boy.
Are you sure all that's really necessary?
It says right there on the website that you need it all. So I started going through and I got the resume done and, you know, I got this piece and that piece done. And then I eventually got to the letters of recommendation, and I asked a former employer of mine to write one, and she's writing it. And then I was like, you can submit like supplemental letters of recommendation. So I was like, okay, I'll have like Jen write me a letter of recommendation, because I'm pretty sure she can get it done tomorrow, you know, meaning today, like in time for this deadline. And, you know, Jen's a great writer, and she knows me really well, so she write a good letter. And, you know.
Isn't she your employee?
Yeah, is that bad?
The first employee. Oh.
Is that
bad?
You
know what? That's a really interesting idea. More people should get letters of recommendation from people that they pay. That's a good idea.
Well, it was a supplement. You have to have one from a former like teacher or employer, which I did. But then I was like, you can just have other people write letters.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff. See, Max, the thing is, a lot of this, it's a life hack. It's a way to sort out the riffraff. I'm sure you're going to get into law school. I wouldn't sweat this too much.
Whatever. Anyway, so I send Jen this thing, and I was like, would you do it? And she was like, yes. And I said, you have to write me a good letter, because if I don't get in, you're fired. And she said, okay. And then this was at 9 o'clock at night. And then I reminded her, I'm literally paying you to write me a good recommendation letter. And she said, okay, I understand. And then she texts me back and she's like, hey, listen, are you sure that the application deadline is March 15th? Because it says on this letter, on this form I got to do the letter, that it's due April 15th. And I was like, oh, shit, dog.
Yeah.
I was just like, never mind. I'll email you on April 14th at 9 o'clock at night.
Well, you know, one way to avoid time theft, though, is to get her to go ahead and finish it early. You know what I'm saying? Because even if you're not done, it would be nice if everybody else were done.
Oh, I see. So you're saying I should say to Jen, I should be like, oh, no, it's a typo. It is due on March 14th.
Or you could just say, you know, by fiat, you know, restore the dictator to health. Get this thing done. Like, I don't care what date schmate. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. I'm paying you good money to recommend me.
I hope she relays to the law school the hilarious anecdote where I stood too close to a bomb and splinters went into my body, and then the doctor took them out and I experienced no pain because I was all hopped up on dictator goofballs.
You've both had assistants in the past, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever ask them to create fake deadlines for you? Just like fudge a deadline so that you would get something done at a time that was appropriate and you weren't doing it at the last second in case you did indeed procrastinate and did not get it done?
That sounds like something I would do. It was more like I hired somebody to help me fake my death. A lot of what my assistant did was just lie to people about my availability. And just, you know, he's super busy. And, you know, I just didn't like talking to people. And so that was a lot of what we did. I did not have a particularly good relationship with my assistant. And it was one of those terrible cases where, you know, bad on me, bad manager. I don't know how to manage people. And, you know, it was one of those things where, like, you end up doing more of it yourself and, like, you know, hey, well, you know, if Seth Godin emails me, you should probably give me a heads up. But, you know, that's not her wheelhouse. But, no, I have known people to do this. Now, some people like a deadline. They live by deadlines. Has Max done this with Kara?
No, I don't do fake deadlines. Like, we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago during our, like, task management thing. But for me, like, I've tried all this business of, like, changing the deadline or like setting my clocks a little bit ahead so I think I have less time than I do. But to me, it's like, if there's any chance of me doing something on time, like there has to be like a sanctity to the time and the deadline and the information I have, because I'm always here. Listen, here's the reason I do things late. It's not because, well, it's only partially because I'm a lazy, bad person. It's also because I'm too time constrained. Like, I'm doing too many things. So I'm constantly in triage, and I'm constantly, every minute of every day, I'm deciding who to disappoint. And I'm like, just by recording this podcast, I'm disappointing people who need me to do things for them that aren't this podcast. But if I did those things for them, then I would be disappointing you guys, because I'd be late for the podcast that we scheduled. So I'm always just deciding who's going to get let down and like what thing I'm not going to finish and what disaster I'm going to incur in my life. And at least I want to make an educated choice. Like, at least I want the information of all the things that are due and all the numbers on my OmniFocus and my calendar or whatever. At least I want that stuff to be right. So I don't find it helpful to lie to myself about the deadlines.
The one thing that we have found helpful, there's been a number of times where Jen and Trin have needed Max to open an email, and sometimes we'll write fun subject lines like top 10 serial killers in Illinois, new asteroids found.
Do you think this serial killer screwed up by not starting with the cheerleaders? Because I do. Ooh, that, I gotta click that on that mine. One. That's a good one.
That's
yeah.
the best thing I've ever written for cards. Serial killer subject line.
Ooh, click. You gotta figure out, I think it's helpful to know, first of all, that everybody lies to themselves about certain things. And like, that's how you cope in life. Like, if you don't lie to yourself about some things, I don't know how you exist. That sounds like, you know, utter total clinical depression 24/7 to me. You have to lie to yourself about some things, or you have to hide and compartmentalize some things. But you also have to pick like the areas where you like will choose not to fib to yourself. And I think that's one way to look at due dates. Where like you're describing, I mean, it has a practical component, which is like, hey, I need to know what I can cancel if I have to today. You know, right? So like, I'm having a situation at home right now I should tell you about. But something came up in the middle of the night last night that I'm dealing with now. And it's really helpful to know like, okay, here's all this stuff that I can absolutely skip today. And by virtue of the fact that I only have three things today that have a date and a time on them, that gives me... And it's the big rocks, right? Like these are the in the rally of my day. These are the places I need to be doing a thing on the planet at a certain time. And like the thing is, I think the minute, I'm repeating myself here, but the minute you start putting something on there that's not really a deadline, but you want it to like fake psych you into doing it, you're screwed. Like that's an area where like I cannot afford, of all the other myriad ways I can lie to myself, that's one way where I can't, or it would all fall apart. Everything becomes bullshit at that point.
Merlin, what happened last night? Did you get a hockey goalie in the house?
Our water heater got a leak last night in the middle of the night. My wife shakes me awake at like 4:35.
Wait a minute.
Like,
do you suspect foul play? Do you think it was sabotage?
Well, I'm going to let the intelligence committee decide that, and let the tweet stand for itself. That's what I'm going to say. It's a matter of trust. It's not a matter of law. I don't know. So anyway, we're dealing with that. And I was like, just freaking out. Like, oh my God, our downstairs neighbors are going to be flooded. And now we got to deal with this. And nobody wants to deal with the dishonest water heater industry. You should see the Yelp reviews for these people. They're
overrated.
They're animals. Oh, very low energy. But, you know, this comes up. You know, once every once in a while, something comes along where you're like, boop, 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 clear the decks. It doesn't have to be death in the family. That's a pretty good example. But sometimes stuff comes along where, like, the last thing you want to do is have to sort through, like, mounds of bullshit you deliberately created in order to figure out what actually is a thing that you have. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. But that's one way I have two bulwarks against insanity. One is I always put my wallet in the same place. And the other one is I don't put fake deadlines on things.
So what happens with the water heater? I don't know this as a recent homeowner.
Our landlord's coming over today to.
It is kind of a death in the family in a way, because I consider the water heater to be a member of the family.
I know.
It's always
know.
There when
it's
you
a,
need
it's
it.
It's an adoptive member. That doesn't make it any less of a member of the family. No, it'll be fine. But you know me, I'm always on the verge of panic all the time, no matter what. It doesn't take that much to send me over into legitimate panic and like dry heaving at 4 a.m. So yeah, that's a good place to be. So I haven't had a shower, but you know, I do have a Clorox bottle here in case I need to pee. So everything's coming up Milhouse.
I feel it. You have, as much as I enjoy all of your home stories, you have like all of the drawbacks of owning a home while not owning a home. Does that like, man, I'm sorry. Yeah. That just sucks.
Yeah. I'll be fine. Oh, wait, motion detection. Looks like he's coming in. All right, good. All right, well, that's getting worked on.
You got a little hockey goalie?
Yeah, got a little push notification.
I have some a hot follow-up coming in hot. Let's see. Where to start? I have a big Overcast podcast player update. So I had mentioned, I think on the podcast or something, I was complaining that I can't listen to, it's like a lot of times I want to listen to podcasts like while I'm working. Like there's some work I can do where I'm able to like listen to a podcast while I do it. It's not, you know, essentially it's not writing based. It's like design based or whatever. Mm-hmm. And a friend of the pod, Skullface on Twitter, sent me this amazing thing. It's called Podcast Menu. And you can actually just get it on GitHub, and it's kind of a rogue menu bar item. It's a little application that puts Overcast and a little pop-up that comes from the menu bar.
Oh.
So you can click on the menu bar and it brings up your Overcast like playlist. I think it's kind of just scraping it from the website maybe. It looks like kind of a web view. However, but check this shit out. It works with the media keys. So you can hit the pause on your keyboard and pause and start the podcast.
Shit, dog.
And
look
what's
at
cool
this.
And what's cool about listening to it that way is also like it obviously it like syncs with all your other Overcast information. So if you listen to a little bit of a podcast on the computer, you know, it's when you start it on your phone, it starts at that time code.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, and look at the menu bar icon. It's so good. This doesn't like looking at this does not look like a hack. This looks beautiful.
It's a game changer. Game changer.
You don't have to build it from source. Is it a Oh, look at that. It's a regular old app binary. Check it out.
Yeah, so you just scroll down and there's nightlies, but then you can just get the latest, you know, whatever stable release or whatever.
Oh, great. Life hack. I'm so going to use this.
Yes. So thank you to, I don't know who made this, Inside GUI on GitHub. Thanks for making this. And thanks to a friend of the pod, Jessica, for sending that over. Follow-up number two.
You just said friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
We're broken up for 10 minutes. Oh, my
friend
God.
Friend of the pod. Okay. Item number two, I saw yesterday that Lucky Peach magazine, my beloved Lucky Peach magazine, the one thing in this world that brings me some solace and happiness, laid off their whole staff and they're probably going under in May. So that's cool. I feel like whatever simulation we're living in is now designed specifically to fuck with me. Like, I think it's personal. I don't quite understand how the surprising Super Bowl results fit into that because I don't know anything about the Super Bowl. But possibly I'm not even aware of all of the consequences of that yet.
It sucks how everything has become meaningful. Like everything has become an analogy or a metaphor or an avatar of this other thing. And it's just, you can't even make a dumb joke on Twitter without people going, yeah, like Trump, am I right? And it's like, oh my God. So what's Lucky Peach? Lucky Peach.
Oh, you guys are kidding me.
Oh, Merlin. Even the weirdo knows what Lucky Peach is.
You gotta be kidding me. This is why they're going under. Jesus. Yeah, thanks,
people
Merlin.
Like me.
If only
found
you
a really
were Merlin
good
Man.
Video today.
Why'd you fuck me like this? You should listen, if you don't get Lucky Peach, someone's getting fucked. In this case it's me. Mm-hmm. I don't wanna be fucked.
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to fuck you. How to skim stock? Should you wash your chicken or not?
Lucky Peach is a food magazine, but it's, how do you describe it? It's like food writing, but not bad. It's like not annoying and bad. I don't know how to put it.
The best, I would compare it to a lot of the writing that happened in the magazine, Marco Arment's old publication, and then it was moved to Glenn Fleischman, and it just had food writing, but it was more like food culture and not foodie culture. Does that sort of make sense?
It was about how food is a window into humans.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It was really just charming. There's a new magazine. Have you heard of Mold Magazine?
No.
Okay.
Is it a kombucha magazine?
It's one of those weird things, and they're having a Kickstarter. They're just this site, and they're into like my stuff, like grow a pill that gives you protein, and the steak was in a lab. But also, they do have some stories that are the same, like Lucky Peach style, like I don't want to say interest piece, but it seems cool.
Was this mold making?
Mold. No. I'm gonna put it in the secret chat.
Oh, I see.
Network.
I see. Mold, the future print, the first print magazine about the future of food.
This is something that's either gonna be very, very cool or incredibly stupid. We'll see how it goes.
I got my fidget cubes.
Oh, why?
Are they real ones or are they?
Are they the ones that are beating us on Amazon?
Oh no, they're from the Kickstarter update 28. And you know, it's fine. It's, you know, I wouldn't do it again, but you know,
I don't know why I haven't got my fidget cube.
Yeah, they seem to be having some issues.
Oh yeah.
Did you guys see, I have big powder follow up. This is big powder news. So Mike Cernovich, author of The Gorilla Mindset, he has a line of like supplements and powders that you can take. And he has two new ones out there, Smart Brain Pills. And one of them is called, because his thing is The Gorilla Mindset. It's like how to be the like alpha gorilla to like.
I thought you made that up.
What?
No. This is his famous book that makes him a big deal. He has two sort of like smart brain pills that you can take. One of them is called, this is real, and it's called Brain Health Nootropic Formula. and they make you smart. You take these and you become smart. You become a genius.
Oh, good.
Guaranteed.
Oh, good.
But
good.
The first one is called Gorilla Mind Rush, and the other one is called Gorilla Mind Smooth, which, like, having a smooth brain, that's like an insult that people say. That's...
Yeah, I mean, you want all those little imaginations. That's where the memories go. Gorilla mindset and smooth, and what's the other one? Rush?
Gorilla Mind Smooth and Gorilla Mind Rush. So I've got an idea for a challenge this week.
Hold on to it for next week. Hold on.
Anyway, if you want a perfectly smooth brain, you should take this Mike Cernovich Gorilla Pills for your brain, your smart brain pills.
I also have some powder follow-up. You know, there's a lot of testosterone-based powders, but I found something called Pregnitude, which is, as we talked about, I'm getting really into period science, and this will help your fertility cycle. I'm not sure how you get the powders. It's available exclusively at Walgreens.
Alex, is this relevant to anyone on this podcast?
You know?
It is. I love hearing about your periods, and I love you telling people to calm down because you're going to talk about your periods. I would love to hear more about your periods.
Yeah, for the three women who listen to this podcast.
Hello.
God, let's see.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Bad on you. If anybody needs to hear about periods, it is not women.
Exactly.
It is men who need to hear about periods.
I want my friends to also make fun of this. Yeah. We really should be put in tents.
You should value her fecundity, Max.
I mean,
value her fecundity.
Honestly, like, here's the thing. We don't know about how bad the period tents were in, you know, the olden times. It sounds like, and it was primarily the many wives of rich men. And I'd think that, like, a big, nice tent with, like, fluffy pillows and, you know, your kombucha, it would be nice. Just take a week off.
Does this spin out of, how does one say, certain cultures hold that when a woman is having her lady time, mm-hmm. that she is unclean, and therefore, like, she shouldn't be hanging around. Like, you don't go swimming, you don't ride horses, and go get in the tent. Is that the idea?
Oh, this is straight from the Old Testament. I believe Leviticus, well, the best of the books.
daily show, here we come.
Yeah, I have a lot of concerns about this.
You know, actually, Merlin, you have a pee bucket. Maybe I should just have a period bucket.
You do the Google Keep. It's a little period bucket. You know, it's a personal period bucket.
That are, like, shaped like daisies and are pink and shit. You should just have something called period bucket. And it's just like the kind of thing you put a citronella candle in. It's just like a really shitty, cheap, leaky tin bucket.
I mean, I have a lot of friends who use, are you familiar with Diva Cups?
Yes.
I have a lot of friends that use them. They're not for me.
The Google Keep.
Google Keep of your vagina blood.
Do you save it? I mean, do you make it into, like, a kombucha? Is it, like, eating the afterbirth? Like, keeping the jellyfish? Do you bury it under a tree for good luck? Like, how does it work?
I'm going to I'll follow up with some folks who use it. However, I did back a Kickstarter that was a Bluetooth-enabled Diva Cup. Just because I was curious. They did not get funded, unfortunately.
Alex, what kind of push notifications do you get from that?
No. They.
Just in case you lose it, you get, like, a clapper.
Well, the idea is when it's filled up, you can.
I'm almost full. Drain your fecundity.
God, I wanted this to be a thing so badly. Internet of
You
things.
Look nice in those pants. Enjoy your meal.
Do you know why you call, like, when you like learn something new, why you say it makes an impression on you? It's because, like, early philosophers like Descartes, they used to, like, vivisect, like, animals and, like, look at human brains, and they saw the wrinkles in the brain, and they were like, oh, every one of those little crevices, that's like a thought that that person had or a thing they learned. So that's why it like something when you learn something, it impresses upon your brain, makes an impression.
Wow. I didn't know that. I was a Descartes man. I enjoyed me some Descartes. He's a very interesting pivot point in Western philosophy, it seems to me. Because he had a lot of ideas that are still, they're just like basic, like pillars of what we think of as Western philosophy. But he also had so much awesome wackadoo. You get into Berkeley and the perception stuff. Like there's so much great stuff in continental philosophy back then.
One of the big ideas he had was to vivisect live dogs. And you cut them in half and you'd find out that the soul, the pineal gland in the brain, that's where the soul lives.
Yes.
That's where the little man is.
You can stimulate your pineal gland. You know, you get in the shower and you just bang on it real hard with your shower vibrator.
Now without that water heater, you don't.
I know you got soul. I'm super bad. Looks like he's still milling around in there. See what happens.
I have a bit more follow-up.
Yeah.
I got an unsolicited Amazon email, and it's, "Hi, Alex, thank you for your recent purchase of our product and your support for our company. Our goal is always to provide our very best products so that our customers are completely satisfied. We are committed to innovation, and that's why we value your feedback." And I have no idea what the fuck I ordered or what this was for. It was not attached to any order number.
New policy. I could not. I went into the Amazon settings. Could not figure out how to turn off these emails. So maybe
you
I
got to call. You got to call them.
Oh, that's fucking absolutely never going to happen. So now whenever anyone emails me, I click on the link to leave a review and I leave them a 1-star review. So I know that all the people selling Glad sandwich bags are listening to this podcast. And I'm telling you right now, I vow to you, if you email me to leave a review for your Glad sandwich bags, I will leave you a 1-star review. And under reason, I will say, this company I did not give this company permission to contact me, and they contacted me about their sandwich bags. I don't want to hear about the bags after I order them. I want to put my sandwiches in them and move on with my life.
You're not done yet.
Can you imagine
if
you went to the grocery store and you bought a bag of 100 Glad sandwich bags, and the next week the grocery store called you and they said, "How are your bags? What kind of sandwiches are you putting in there? Are they good? Are you liking them?"
Please remember to like and subscribe.
How dare they?
Do you guys mind if I call these guys? They did.
There's a number?
Yeah, there is a number.
Call them up. You have to say that the call's being recorded for quality assurance purposes.
Of course. Okay.
This is big. Yes. Yes.
Hi, is this jasoncases.com?
It is.
All right, great. I recently got a thank you email and a request to review a product that I bought from you guys, except I have no idea what the product is. It was not attached to any order number or anything. Also, this call is being recorded for quality assurance. Is there any way to figure out what I bought from you?
Greatest day of my life.
Wait. Yes, I am Alex Cox from Cards Against Humanity. How did you know that?
I think you said it when you called in.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
That's funny.
Sorry, I'm having a day, man.
Okay, yeah, the order is for the Sony FS7 plus lens and bottom plate case.
Oh, so a hard case for a camera. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. I just we bought that about a year ago. it's a great case and I'm happy with it, so I guess I'll leave you guys a good review. Thank you so much for clearing that up.
Yeah, am I allowed to use your feedback to put up on the website?
Sure. It is a great hard case. It has been through many security, both checkpoints and it has been checked many times, and nothing has been broken or stolen, and it's great. I think it fell down an escalator once. Yeah, and our very expensive camera is still safe. So thanks.
Ask him if he'll review our game.
Will you guys review our game?
You have a game?
I do. It is the best-selling game on Amazon. It's called Cards Against Humanity.
Ask him to leave a 5-star review.
Will you leave a 5-star yeah. review on Amazon?
I've never played the game, but I'll tell them.
Just take our word. Tell them, take your word for it. It's really funny.
You give good reviews.
All right, it's really, really funny. Trust me.
It's a funny game?
It is a funny, it's a pretty funny game. It's a pretty funny game. Well, I don't want to take up more of your time, but thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
This was Alex?
Yep.
From Cards Against Humanity.
Alex from Cards Against Humanity.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for your feedback. Bye-bye. God damn
it. Oh, that's so funny.
I don't know if it was funny, as funny as I thought. Oh, well, the thing is now, I don't think that this was from Amazon, but also this is actually something we ordered like a year ago. I guess it just got around to... Okay.
Oh, God. Can he be a regular?
All right.
I love him so much.
I'm gonna
this is red, the color of my task, all over again. How did he know?
I think you said so when you called me.
And then...
I got to roll that back. You should do a sandwich here and roll back, because I don't remember you saying Cards Against Humanity, but maybe you did.
I think we should pivot. Okay, hear me out. I think we should pivot into a prank phone call podcast. Aww.
Gold, the color of my stars. 5, the number of my game. Oh, that was well done, Alex. Hakuna Matata.
He was a good sport about it. Thank you, Jason, from Jason.
I think that had a little bit of Starly Kind to it. I mean, you took it and you turned it, and then that guy kind of put it back on you, and he was great. I thought that guy handled that extremely well. He did not sound like a ding-a-ling, but I would be watching out for that review, because, I mean, you know, quid pro quo, Clarice.
Do you know about the Nintendo Switch taste thing, Merlin?
Ooh.
Oh, I haven't gotten... Well, I'm trying to get rid of all of my physical media, so I didn't. I haven't bought a cartridge, but I want to lick one so bad. Ooh. I just need to know.
Wow. I've got one in my backpack. You want to lick a cartridge?
Sure. I can sanitize it afterwards.
Yeah. Super interested in that. Yeah.
This is the new thing on podcasts too.
Do you wanna lick? Well, don't lick Call of the Wild. I want to play that. Why don't you can lick Bomber. You can lick Bomberman.
Okay. All right, there you go. Wow. There's a lot.
What's the procedure? Do you just pop the whole thing in your mouth like a potato chip?
You know what? I'm gonna lick both sides.
Okay.
Because I wonder if it's the whole thing.
You getting anything?
I mean it. It tastes bad, but it's maybe... Okay. The whole thing is in my mouth.
Wow, you really went for it.
The whole thing is in my mouth.
Oh, my Bomberman. Oh, no, my Bomberman. Are you you're just going at it like a Jolly Rancher here.
It's just... So... Oh, wow. Okay, so if you keep it in...
Alex looks very unhappy right now.
The thing is, if you keep it in, that's when it starts to get you. But like if you're a kid, you just swallow it. So
it's gonna be so ironic if you swallow it.
You can go ahead and keep that, Alex.
Oh yeah, free game. All right.
There you go. I wasn't playing that. Wasn't really playing that anyway. So go ahead and keep that Bomberman. Yeah. This is like, so if you go on Amazon and you go on Cards Against Humanity and you sort by 1-star reviews of Cards Against Humanity. I mean, first of all, people who leave 1-star reviews on Amazon are really anywhere. They're the dumbest living humans. I mean, they're the people who have a little bit, I think they're like part Neanderthal or something like that. But they might have been taking too many of this, the Mike Cernovich smooth brain gorilla pills. But
because they got gorilla mindset.
Well, they smoothed their brains out a little too much. You know, not enough impressions in there. But... Basically, if you go in there, there's a lot of like comments or like 1-star reviews with comments on Cards Against Humanity. Like, I bought this gift as a Christmas present for my niece, and Christmas was bad.
Oh, that sucks.
I don't know, just like crazy circumstances beyond our control.
Yeah. And you're like, well, you know, it's what's the deck? Or what's the deck? You've got Cards Against Humanity, colon. Is it a game for terrible people?
I don't even think that their issue is that we like offended someone, which actually would be a fine 1-star review to read.
Oh, she was literally reviewing Christmas.
Yes, exactly. She's like, the Christmas party was poor. Yeah, it was like, yeah, I'm pulling some of these up here. So let's see, 1-star review.
I like the one that is titled 1-star, and it just says, this was highly recommended, but we tired of it very quickly. I guess it's fair. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Here's one, verified purchase. Too many duplicates. Not very fun when you have two of the same card in your hand. There is no duplicates in the game.
Okay. Maybe they're unstuck in time.
Okay. Great theory.
It's fun sometimes to click through on the names. I love doing this on the App Store, where I don't read reviews for stuff I do. I very rarely read reviews for apps, but it is fun when you see somebody who's clearly unhinged. It is fun to click on their name and go read about what else. Because really, the funny thing is you'll discover that a lot of the 1-star review people are also some of the 5-star review people. And like everything they do is a personal vendetta about this one time in high school. And like that's just them down the line. And you can go and see all of their incredibly wackadoo, like this, you know, this lawn chair reminds me of Stacy or whatever. You're like, oh, fuck, what is happening?
Here's a good one. 1-star does not contain labels.
That was what I just saw. I don't understand. What does that mean? Like,
I don't know. They thought it would be.
Does not contain labels.
Okay. X-rated. Definitely an adult game. That's it. You're just describing.
Oh my God, this is so awesome. The photo. Okay, so if you go on Cards Against Humanity, the product photo that Amazon has sort of algorithmically chosen as the representative photo, it's a photo of the box where there's like one standing up and one lying down. So it's showing you the box from two different angles. And here's a 1-star review. The picture is not what you get. I only got the small box on the left that's sitting vertically.
Oh my God.
Kara Max's assistant is here, and
why is this happening?
You need to go get.
No, you do not
kombucha.
Need to do it.
You do because I just put this in my mouth and I still taste it, and I need another disgusting thing to put in my mouth to get rid of it.
And what is that thing?
This is a Nintendo Switch cartridge.
No, I mean, what do you need to put?
I need to put kombucha. Max and I need kombucha.
Oh,
yes, I haven't. So I might shit myself on this show.
It's not a tea stuff. It's a fermented fungus beverage.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good.
It does not look good, but I'm already eating gross stuff.
At Rejoice, it's a living beverage.
Thank you very much, Kara.
Okay, do you have time? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why is Alex... Wait a minute. Do you have time for this? Okay.
You delegated this to me, and I'm delegating it to Kara.
I didn't delegate this to anyone. All right, thank you, Kara. I'm so sorry to everyone who has to listen to this episode.
No, we're gonna. This
is for sure the worst episode of the show. I think we're done. I think we've done all we can with this show. I think we're good.
Yeah. We had a good run.
Are there any? I want to check if we have any reviews on iTunes.
Oh no! Please don't.
Oh my God! Leave us a 1-star review on iTunes.
No! What? Don't do that. Oh,
tell us your complaints.
Don't do that.
Oh no! Please, please. Oh my God! Please.
No!
Oh no! I've seen a lot of what you're describing. It's very memorable how many people bought incredibly inappropriate things for a grandchild, niece, or nephew. And are very upset about how it worked out and that the child wasn't happy or that it was wildly inappropriate for them. So you give your kid like a Fabergé egg and like very fragile for the price. And you're like, oh, my God. It's ponderous.
Mm.
1-star by Valerie. Perverted, crude, inappropriate. We should put that on the box.
Oh. So, do you, Alex, you're reading Blitzed, right?
I am so in, I'm just balls deep into Blitzed. I actually got the audiobook because I had a lot of driving to do, and I just, oh god, it's so good. I thought it was going to be all Hitler all the time, and at first I was disappointed, but I did not realize, slight spoilers for Blitzed, that basically all of Germany was addicted to meth for a few years.
Right.
I'm right. sure that was fine.
It was like oh, coffee. God. You know, it's just like, hey, have some meth. Got to go to Leningrad.
I like the bit particularly about how it was less. It was believed to be less dangerous than caffeine.
One star by Brian West. This game is not what I expected. It is a poor attempt at recreating a TV show. Nothing about the question or responses are funny.
What TV show were you guys recreating, Max?
Well, I mean, hopefully Arrested Development. That's a show that's really funny. Mm.
They weren't.
I think you on your next writer's retreat should just recreate Veep, really.
Oh, Christ, I wish we could.
Oh, my God. Nevada.
All right, we should start the show. Say something funny so I can put in a good transition.
Oh, I'm like, I think it's because Tommy, last night, Isla and Tommy and I went out to, mm-hmm. after I realized at 10:30 at night that my application wasn't due, I was just like high. I was like, I felt like I like did heroin. I was just like flying high. I was like, oh my God, I have a whole month to procrastinate on this still. And we went out to Korean barbecue and we got a whole bottle of soju of the, like, I think it's like Korean like plum wine. And it sounds so pleasant. It's like, oh, like Korean plum wine. Like that sounds like a delightful treat. And it tastes pretty like sweet and mild. Yeah, it's plum wine. It's wine from plums. How bad could it be? It's basically the same alcohol content as like whiskey. And we just drank an entire bottle. We were just shooting it all night. And it's so pleasant.
No.
I think the reason I'm feeling so bad is that I drank a lot of the Korean plum wine.
They should warn you about that. One star said plum, got very drunk.
One.
More like whiskey, low energy, sad.
Drank too much of it. Mm. One star.
Mm. Very disappointed.
Are you a big drinker, Merlin?
Yes.
Merlin works hard, he parties hard.
No.
Yeah, I talk fast, I drive fast.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, I can't drink a lot of stuff other people like. Like, I can't drink a lot of beer. It makes me really, really mm-hmm. logy.
You know what I'm saying? That I would like beer because I'm quite a bread enthusiast, and it's basically just liquid bread.
Right.
But I'm not a fan. Whiskey's great. Anyway.
One star by Richard Ziembicki. It is a great game. Everybody really enjoys it. We'll contact you around Christmas. They will make super presents. Thanks, Rich. One star. Let's see what other reviews. Let's see. Oh, it's his only content on all of Amazon. User Tomb Raider. Oh, my God. This person who left a one-star review on Cards said, left a book a review on a book, and it says, one star. This book makes you think, wow, that is interesting, or wow, I didn't know that. But I found it interesting how the book talks about how humans did not come from monkeys. No, no. We actually come from an ancestor, quote, that has not been found yet. First of all, macroevolution has not been proven. Microevolution has, but not macro. I was very disappointed when I read this section, having read several sections before it, filling my brain with possible non-facts. Oh, the title of the book is The Book of General Ignorance. Everything You Think You Know Is Wrong.
Is Tomb Raider is his name?
Is that
Dutch?
I don't know. They leave a lot of reviews. They've left like 40. Oh, they're from Chicago. We should have them on the podcast.
Call them. Get them on the phone. Get them on the blower. Hello, may I speak with Mr. Raider? Oh, Mr. Raider is my father. Call me Tomb.
You're enjoying Blitzed. So what have you taken away that you did not previously know about Hitler's drug use?
Well, I mean, one thing I got from listening, I feel like I got from listening to that interview on Fresh Air, reading between the lines a little bit, Terry Gross, it seemed to me, did you listen to it by any chance?
I did, yes.
she felt heavily briefed on cautiously making sure that this person, that basically that their ass was covered in case what he's saying wasn't true. Like, are we really sure that X means oxy and stuff like that? Did you catch that? Did you get that feeling of like, she was really, in a way that she doesn't often do with authors, there wasn't this sort of like implicit credibility question. It wasn't huge, but it was there. So, you know, I'm reading it. First of all, I'm thinking this is, you know, in translation. I'm thinking, you know, I want to make sure. And sometimes when he editorializes, it is a little bit out of nowhere and a little jarring. It doesn't feel like a really straightforward nonfiction, like, you know, there are times. So, I'm reading it in a somewhat circumspect way. With that said, yeah, I mean, just how pervasive everything was and like, and just the gnawing sensation of this whole, like, well, we've all had our reckons about why things went the way they did. You know, is it a micropenis? Is it failed art? Like, is it all these different things? But, you know, again, we're back to Occam's razor. Like, what if he was just really fucked up on drugs a lot of the time and you know, had a job to do every day?
Some of the things that feel a little bit like an opinion piece, I wonder if that's just kind of lost in translation.
Me too. Did you get that impression?
I don't know. No, there were just some parts that read salty. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it did read a little salty. There were points I can't think of an exact thing, but in the high Hitler section, he would say things like da 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 da, facty facty fact 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 facty fact, riding on a train, which would be very unexpected for such a terrible dictator. It's like kind of like.
Do you know the intimate lives of all the dictators?
Yeah, right. But I mean, great little factoids like Morel was really proud of the fact that he had Hitler's doctor, his personal doctor, very proud of this role that he had, and stuff like the fact that to give Hitler his injections, they would have to stop the train. And he was very excited, like, oh, they had to stop the train today so I could give Hitler his injections. Like, yay, 4 stars. Like, stuff like that, I thought those are interesting. I love those little kinds of turns out insights. But yeah, I'm glad I got it. It's very, very interesting book.
All right. Someone say something funny.
Trump's taxes. Rachel Maddow got him. I think this is it, guys. I think we got him. He's on the ropes.
Yep.
He filed some paperwork. Yeah, he filed some paperwork incorrectly, and you know, that's how we got Capone tax evasion.
I was so excited.
Why? I don't understand that. Every time there's Trump news, it ends with you being kicked in the balls.
Yeah.
How is this ever going to be? There's never going to be Trump news that doesn't end with you being kicked in the balls. But, here's the deal. The guy's going to be president for 8 years. You're going to get kicked in the balls every day for 8 years, and then we'll get a new president, and he'll be good. Or she.
The fact that this can still, there's still a way to make this about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama is staggering. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just, I'll talk to my kid about this. I'll just be like, oh, he's at it again. And she's like, he won the election. I'm like, exactly. He won the election. But he's still making this about the election. It's like, it's so.
I mean, it's weird for me because I grew up in, I think I was 10. No, I was 15 when Obama was elected for the first time. No, I'm sorry. Man, this is getting cut out. Like Obama was the first president I ever voted for. And so I sort of grew up in the Bush era, but my entire adult life, my entire adult life has been Obama. And do you worry about your kid? Like,
yeah, sure. It's like my mom was born in the early 30s, and Franklin D. Roosevelt was president until she was a teenager, from the time of her birth to when she was a teenager. Like, think about that for a minute.
Yeah, oh boy.
That's pretty wild stuff. So, yeah, I mean, of course I worry about it. I mean,
She'll be like 16, and she'll never have known a president that didn't pay ladies to pee in the bed. Oh, I see Alex has got some bags.
The kombucha has arrived.
The booch is here.
Two gigantic bags.
What flavors do we have?
It seems to be all the flavors. We got original, organic, and raw.
I like that original.
Lemonade.
Too sour.
Too sour. All right. There's Cosmic Cranberry.
Have not tried it.
I feel like that's one that I...
That's my go-to.
Cosmic Cranberry.
Cosmic Cranberry.
May the great Cosmic Cranberry carry you on its back. Sounds like a good omen.
Oh boy.
Wait. Is there a Gingerade?
I don't think so. Let me know.
What?
All right. We're looking for some Gingerade.
I'll tell you, man. Cosmic Cranberry, Gingerberry, and Gingerade. That's my three go-to.
The Gingerade is good.
What is multigreen?
Multigreen's
got mean?
The algae. That's my favorite one. It's green tea and algae.
Oh boy.
That's the one that was your original.
Love
that's the OG
the green. That's my favorite flavor. That's one of the best beverages of all time. I mean, you do have to factor in that it's going to make you shit your pants, but.
Boy, you know, I've had some looseness that wasn't explained. I mean, it's nothing. I'm losing sleep over. Not like my water heater raining down.
So I have not tried this ever. So if I just spontaneously shit myself, that's gonna be some great content.
Hang on, I'm sorry. Is this your first booch?
What flavor are you going with?
I'm going with cranberry. Because there's alcohol in this, right? So really, it's just like a vodka cranberry, right? Yeah.
There's not enough alcohol in it that they card you when you buy it.
Okay, there seems to be a lot of debris at the bottom. I assume that's
mm-hmm. Those are the cosmic cranberries.
Do you shake it?
I like to think that we all go to the cosmic cranberry when we die.
We all get the heaven we deserve. As previously discussed, I would not shake it because it is carbonated. Rejoice, rejoice. I would gently flip it over slowly. Twice, let it I would flip it over once, get the butt up in the air, like you just don't care, mm-hmm. let it settle, gently mm-hmm. flip it back, and then enjoy. It's a living beverage.
This seems like a very costly drink.
It's pretty, ooh. Yep.
Synergy. All right. Yeah, it's all floating to the top.
The love you are looking for is also looking for you. Inquire within.
Living food for the living body. Intention is the soul of action. You know what? I just want to say, I want to put a fucking stake in the ground. I've had it with fortune cookies that are aphorisms. This is a blight. It's been happening slowly for like 40 years. Don't give me lotto numbers. I don't want lotto numbers, and I do not want an aphorism. I want to know what the fuck is going to happen in my life. Is that too much to ask from a cookie?
No.
The love you are looking for, yeah, okay, that's the one you got. What else?
It sort of smells like cider, with the. All right, let's see how this is.
What'd you have for lunch, Alex? Oh, I had a Nintendo card with the booch finish.
I'm not getting a ton of flavor, which is strange for me.
I think by the time you get to it gets better as you drink it, especially if it's still really cold. But by the time you get to your third one of these, I think you're, for my case, for myself, I was sold after three.
How many?
These.
Real talk.
We're going to flip the chair around. Yeah, put your arms up on the chair.
What does this actually make you is this a GABA type thing? Is it the flavor? What does this do for you?
I honestly do not get a ton of energy out of this that I couldn't write down to my normal powders.
I see.
Mainly, I enjoy the taste of it, and I thought I would try it for a few weeks just to see if it does anything, you know, with my butt and my thinking and whatnot.
Well, I was just thinking, could I introduce a new recurring character into the Dubai Friday mythology?
Yes, please.
So are you guys aware of one of my favorite people in the world, David Avocado Wolf?
No.
Okay. Let me read from his Wikipedia article. I'm trying to decide the best way to introduce him. So this is David Avocado Wolf, nutritionist. David Avocado Wolf, born August 6, 1970, is a raw foodist, promoter of alternative medicine, conspiracy theorist, and entrepreneur and spokesman for the Nutribullet. Okay. Health and diet. Wolf promotes a diet based on raw plants. He has stated that this also has a detoxification effect. Wolf advocates that people with cancer take dietary supplements instead of getting medical attention. Perfectly mm-hmm. sensible. Wolf believes that chemtrails exist and are harmful to people and animals. That's well proven.
Check.
Wolf has considered coca to be one of several superfoods. Wolf says that he has a deer antler spray that is, quote, levitational and an androgenic force. Okay. and sells deer antler spray products, of course. Wolf claims that mushrooms have an advanced intelligence and consciousness. Okay. He has stated that mushroom spores can, quote, levitate off the planet and believes that they are trying to, quote, get to the center of the sun. He has stated that mushroom spores originally came from, quote, distant planets and were, quote, carried by cosmic winds or meteors into Earth's atmosphere, stating that, quote, the preliminary work develops as the mushroom mycelium sets itself up to network and nourish multi-celled carbohydrate-forming organisms. Well, that's just science.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's, I don't understand why that would be controversial.
It, so is this like drug mushrooms or just mushrooms?
It's a great question. Eat? He does. Let me just scroll down to under views. It just says physics. Wolf believes that the Earth is flat and that gravity is a hoax. And there's a citation for this.
Oh, God, I can't.
He's a spokesman for the nuclear. Oh, it's from when the Flat Earth panel. Lightning in a Bottle, 2016 interview from the Temple of Consciousness, Bradley, California.
I don't know why. I don't know what made me think of this. I just really like this guy. I've read a bunch of his interviews. I'm just really interested in his views.
I have a question about his name, because there's these certain kinds of names, like you get like the bass player Donald Duck Dunn, who I only ever hear referred to as Donald Duck Dunn. I've never heard him called Donald Dunn. I've never heard him called Duck Dunn. He's always called Donald Duck Dunn. My question for you, David Avocado Wolf, do most of his friends call him Avocado? Does his mom call him David? Or is he one of those people that everybody just calls David Avocado Wolf?
Oh, I know why. Okay, I'm sorry. I know why I brought David Avocado Wolf into this conversation. So I was reading the side of my kombucha bottle, and there's a little quote here, and it says, words of enlightenment. The love you are looking for is also looking for you. Inquire within. And then underneath, it's attributed to Apollo Poetry, entrepreneur and speaker, Oakland, California. And I was thinking to myself, boy, it's a huge missed opportunity that David Avocado Wolf, my main man, isn't on the side of the kombucha bottle. And I feel like we should, you know, write a letter or something. I want David Avocado Wolf on the side of the bottle. And he should be saying something like, love is the one true spirit in the world and chemtrails are real. David Avocado Wolf, Nutribullet spokesman and conspiracy theorist.
Real-time follow-up. Just got an email from Jason of Jason's Cases.
Did he leave a review?
He said, yep, he said, nice speaking to you. I found someone in our office who has played your game, so they will be leaving you a review for
Hello.
Your game on Amazon.
All right, we've got it made.
Thanks for your review. We truly appreciate it. Thanks, Jason. That's great. All right, let's challenge Dugga Merlin.
Dugga.
Can I read you a quote? I found a page of inspirational quotes by my main man, David Avocado Wolf. I just want to get it started with one.
All right.
Thank you. Thoughts okay. are things. Everything you do or think yes, is a yes. cause set in motion. Every thought sent forth is a never-ending vibration spiraling its way across the universe and returning us what we have sent with interest. David Avocado Wolf.
Thoughts are things.
David
All right. It was my challenge this week. Basically, I wanted both of you to every day kind of meditate like a meditate like a venture capitalist. So you were instructed to each day to use an aid such as an app or a book to just, you know, get in touch with your inner self.
Well, you know, as my main man David Avocado Wolf says, out of 40,000 plus herbs used worldwide, perhaps only 50 to 60 of them are tonic super herbs. These super herbs should be taken for long periods because, like all tonics, obviously, they are more like food and they build health treasures within and nourish our, quote, stress defense field.
Oh, no.
David Avocado Wolf.
Merlin, it sounded like you had a tough time with this challenge.
Just another quick question about David Avocado Wolf. You mentioned wanting to have a recurring character on the show.
Yeah, no, he's part of the canon now. He's canonical. My main man.
David Avocado Wolf.
You know, Alex, with regards to this challenge, when I sat down to meditate, I really brought to mind the teachings of my main man, David Avocado Wolf, when he said, paradise is a state of consciousness. Yeah. All you have to do is purify yourself, and you automatically arrive.
David Avocado Wolf.
Every organism exists as a vehicle for the ennoblement of water into consciousness.
Oh, what a guy. What a guy. Merlin. You struggled with this.
So this week was rough. I guess I would say, in the words of David Avocado Wolf, that every organism exists as a vehicle for the ennoblement of water into consciousness. That was David Avocado Wolf. There's one overriding principle to the way that I approach meditation. I guess I'd want to paraphrase David Avocado Wolf, who says, until further notice, celebrate everything. Life is a mirror that magnifies what we see out there is only a duplication of what we are inside. David Avocado Wolf. So wise. I mean, he's got so many layers. He's got a Nutribullet. No, I pretty much, I've been having trouble sleeping. I've been really struggling. I've been anxious. And like days just went by before I realized that I didn't do it. I've been trying some things involving sleep and dreams that I've been working on, doing some self-work, as I call it, or as David Avocado Wolf might call it. No, I didn't really do it. I didn't really do the challenge, and I'm really sorry.
So when you say experimenting with like dreams, are you trying to become a lucid dreamer?
I'm fairly lucid some of the time.
Oh, interesting.
I've always been very interested in trying to remember my dreams and developing means and methods of being able to remember them and figure out why I feel the way I feel about them, even if they are nonsensical. And given that I've been having some anxiety lately, that's just the thing that I was doing. I don't know why I didn't do the meditation. I think it's really hard to do meditation. And I dread, I think about it, and then I dread the way I know I will procrastinate doing it. And it makes me feel terrible about myself.
Good. It's I kind of feel the same way every day. Just had a, just, you know, sat down and dreaded going through with it. And I should say the maximum amount that I meditated each day was 10 minutes.
That's not bad.
10 whole minutes.
10 minutes is great.
Well, and I used a number of apps, of course, the go-to Headspace, and I just can't do the guy's voice.
I have a couple of questions about meditation stuff. No, question number one, do you guys have any sort of meditation practice or experience with this prior to this week?
Yes.
Have you ever gotten into meditation and done it for any serious amount of time or anything like that?
Yeah, I had a period where it was really my doctors were really like pushing it, like, yeah, meditation is a good thing that you should do, and especially when like you're manic, like that's a good thing to fight that. And it's I don't know, it's hard. Okay, so I kind of get to cheat with meditation because I will take a benzo beforehand, because otherwise my brain just spirals, and especially with this challenge, I wanted to take notes. You're supposed to let the thoughts flow like a river and get them away. Not even gonna lie, when I was even younger, the fact that Steve Jobs meditated, well, you know, you got to get on that. But I read a lot about meditation and sleep, and I don't do either very well. But I know that you, Max, have had experience with it. Have you ever like gone done meditation, for lack of a better word, like with a guru?
When I was in Baltimore, my friends and I used to go to the Baltimore like Shambhala Center, and we'd go sit. So that's about as organized as I've ever been. And, you know, meditation's a big net. Like, I think it kind of describes all these different things, activities that people can do. You know, I spent a little time going through some of the meditation apps, and I've seen a number of them already. And, you know, most of these apps are a business. They're trying to make some money selling people meditation or the fantasy of meditation or a meditative experience or whatever. And so the way they work is there has to be stuff in the app for you to transact, for you to spend money on. Mm-hmm. And so predominantly almost everything in the app store I mean, literally, like, every app that's you can get is some sort of guided meditation. What I mean by this is some sort of program happens or audio plays while you sit and meditate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more in the tradition of, like, self-hypnosis or relaxation.
Yes. And I don't want to take away from this. You know, I truly think if people do this and it helps them and they feel some benefit, then it's a benefit. I mean, if it works, it works. People should absolutely continue doing it, and I have nothing against it. However, that being said, it's not for me. And the specific kind of meditation I'm interested in would be mindfulness meditation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is like Buddhist meditation. And with Buddhist meditation, what you want to do is you sit in a specific comfortable posture with your legs crossed under you and your back straight, and you sit up straight. And that's not for any spiritual or traditional reason. It's purely because it lets you breathe better. It's just your mm-hmm. body is in a state of alertness, and you can, like, breathe, and it lets right. you, like, basically, like, focus for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only reason I'm aware of that tradition exists of sitting in a certain way. But basically, you sit on this cushion with your feet folded under you, and there should not, I mean, really, you should be able to meditate no matter what's happening, whether there's, like, audio playing or a guided thing or whatever. It doesn't matter what the environment is, but you're actually supposed to, like, not focus on anything. You're supposed to not do a program or mm-hmm. not be thinking about an idea. You're supposed to empty your mind of thoughts, and that's allegedly what the Buddha was able to do after, like, mm-hmm. a lifetime mm-hmm. of training. Yeah, certainly I've never been able to do that. And it's an impossible task. You spend your whole life trying to empty your mind of thoughts, and you can never do it because it's impossible. But the practice of trying to empty your mind of thoughts, it has a couple of positive benefits, which is one, you just realize it's just a reminder. I don't know what to say. It's like I live in a perpetual fear of, like, boredom. Like I like don't go to parties and I don't go do things because I fear being bored.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to go see Hamilton. I'm already dreading it because I know that I'm going to be. But seriously, I know I'm going to
no,
be.
No, I know.
I'm committing to be there for mm-hmm. hours and I might be bored and I'm really kind of anxious about it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that meditation helps me, like, get my head screwed on straight about is, like, boredom, you don't actually die from boredom. It's okay. You just sit there and nothing happens, and that's okay. You'll come out the other side and you're fine. And it's nice to have a structured way to learn that lesson every day for a little bit, because mm-hmm. if you're constantly fleeing any moment of boredom and, like, living in fear of that and constantly cramming content and entertainment into your holes because you're concerned about a momentary experience of boredom, that's a pretty bad life. Like, I don't think you can really leave.
Or, like, for me, it's like thoughts I don't want to think.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. And, you know, I mean, this is such a great piece of advice that I wish I took more often, is that, you know, it's you in choking back these feelings you don't want to feel or thoughts you don't want to think or a discomfort you don't want to experience, as they say, it's the trying to stop that makes it so much worse. And it seems like one benefit of what you're describing, and I've tried it a little bit. I mean, in the past, like over the last 20 years, I've had phases where I've tried this, not anything like what you've done, but it is, even if you're not going to get to this, you know, even if you don't clear your mind of thoughts, you're going to become aware of things and maybe slightly detached from things in a way that you, while feeling at once like I can own that this is a thought that I'm thinking, you also realize that that does mean that the thought is me.
When you're sitting and you're meditating and you're just trying, I mean, I'll get into what I do in a minute, but, you know, the idea is you're not really supposed to be fixated on anything or thinking about anything. You're just supposed to be present in the moment and think about your breathing and just not really have any thoughts in your head. Inevitably, you sit there and you're just assaulted by things that are stressing you out. And, like, mm-hmm. holy shit, like, I was supposed to call this person back, or I'm late for this thing, or suddenly it all comes rushing back to you. You know, I get the same thing when I'm in the shower or when I'm going to sleep or just mm-hmm. any other moment, or mm-hmm. when I'm sitting at a stoplight, any other moment of quiet in my life. I'm just, like, inundated with these, like, panics of, like, oh, fuck, like, that thing, this thing. And the thing with when you're meditating is you're supposed to, you get those thoughts, or sometimes I'll be like, oh my God, that embarrassing thing I said to a girl in high school, Jesus Christ. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to say, I recognize that I'm having this thought. I mean, first the experiences, I mean, just to describe it like from phenomenologically, like, here's what it feels like. You're overtaken by the thought. You become the thought. You're not even thinking about thinking. You're just you're consumed by it. What meditation is, the training of meditation is you pull yourself back and you say, okay, hang on a second. I am not that thought. I'm sort of experiencing this thought. It's just a thought. I'm going to let it go. And, you know, Merlin's brought the example up that I think about all the time of, like, you're watching the cars go by, that thing.
Yeah. Two examples I like. The one we talked about on here was the idea, and this is out of the Headspace app, but the idea is, you know, can you imagine standing by a highway and watching the cars go by without feeling the need to get into any of the cars? Well, you know, why do your thoughts have to be any different? The other one I heard that I want to say maybe in a Steve Hagen book that I thought was pretty great was imagine standing on a bridge, you know, over like a river and trying not to catch a fish.
And so there's two, I will identify just personally two times in my life where this like thought technology of being able to say like, I'm having a thought, I'm not the thought, it's okay, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let that car drive by. Mm-hmm. Here are two times in my life where I have a practical benefit of this helping me. The first time is when I get angry. Like I generally, I don't think I'm like a super angry person, but sometimes like something happens that really pisses me off. Usually it's like, it could be something really dumb, like the Glad Ziploc people emailing me to leave them a review for my box of 100 Glad sandwich bags, right? On Amazon. That like really upsets me. Or like, I don't know, sometimes people will email me asking me to like tweet about their, I haven't even met them and they're asking me to like tweet about their project and I want to write them back and be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, have some respect. And what's nice is like, I think everyone probably is prone to those moments of anger that are kind of irrational and they just push your buttons or whatever. And what's nice about, you know, anger is one of those emotions that totally overtakes you. You know, no one is like, no one has.
You don't notice it till it's.
That's
too
right.
Late.
No one has a mindful experience of anger. You become mm-hmm. anger. You're just like consumed. It just, you know, you're so hot. You can't even slow down to think about it, you know, rationally. And that training of meditation of just returning to the breath and being like, okay, I'm having a thought. It's cool. I'm going to let it go. Very helpful to understand that that's happening to you. I mean, it's not easy. It's not instant. It's like, yeah, I've been meditating for since college. So it's, you know, years of that practice. And like, now I'm better at it of like, when I'm start to get mad, I'm like, all right, I'm getting mad. I'm just gonna let that one go and recognize what's happening. It sounds stupid, but it's really hard. It's actually very hard to do. There's no way to put it into words where it doesn't sound like super lame and dumb.
No, it doesn't sound stupid at all.
The other one is like, so Pat Rothfuss and I have talked about this a lot on our podcast. Like Pat, I didn't know this until I talked to Pat. Pat actually taught me this term, but Pat and I have a similar tendency, which is whenever we hear about anything, whether it's like our partner telling us about a problem or something they have going on at work, or we meet with someone we like and they're telling us about their project, or I'm watching the news and listening to politics, here's a thought that I have all the time, which is, oh, I should fix that. Like, I could do that much better. And it usually comes from a place of, like, I don't actually know too much about it, so I'm, like, too ignorant to understand why my very obvious idea doesn't work. But Pat is, like, done, he's been in therapy a lot. And what he says is that's actually, like, a psychological condition called grandiosity, which is this, like, it's an unhealthy wow. condition where you where it's just like, oh, like everything is about me and I can insert myself into every situation and make it right and fix it. Now, I don't think I suffer from this at a clinical level, but I'm definitely prone to it of like, if I see someone working on something, I'm like, oh, I should insert myself into here and make it better in some way, even whether I right. really know too much about it or not.
Because on some level, pretty much everything is kind of about me. You don't think that way. But like it's every, unless you're mindful of it, every bit of information that comes into your life will be parsed based on like how it affects you.
Yeah. And also like, I think it's just also just part of being a nerd and part of having, you know, whatever the personality, maybe part of how, I think it's part of the personality type that all of we have is that if we look at something and it's a system and it's really inefficient or someone's doing something in a crazy way, it drives us insane. Yeah. Like, have you ever seen, whenever my parents use the computer, they click on the address bar and they go to google.com and then they type in the thing they're searching for. And I want to be like, stop. Do not go to Google. Just type it right in and then hit enter. Like, you don't actually need to type Google and go to google.com every time. But it's like, you know, really, like, it's like doing that helps my parents understand the taxonomy of how the computer works. So what do I care? It doesn't bother me. But it's like, it's very hard for me. It's like, it's honestly like a thing I need to practice every day to be like, to have that feeling of like, oh, I should have that thought of like, I should fix this. I should insert myself into this situation. And then to catch myself and say, I actually don't need to do that. Just because I have the thought or I know the knowledge doesn't actually mean that I need to fix it or do anything or say anything. It's okay for someone to be wrong and not repair it.
Whenever I see someone force quitting iOS apps, I just
When I'm on the train, that's what people do to just kill time.
And people just did dinner. God, I have a question for both of you. Like, I totally understand the trying to get rid of anger.
I would be game, just for what it's worth, I would be game for re-challenging this as a side challenge, because I do want to do this.
It's, yeah, I have future challenges that are related to this. But I'm curious, especially with Max, like, we both do a lot of things. And my, I think, really, my biggest challenge with this was I felt like I can be doing so much more. Not necessarily I haven't done something that I should have done, but it's like I could be doing this cool project. I could be learning more. I could be reading this thing. I could be making myself smarter. And
so like a use of time.
Yeah.
Well, I have that. I have that feeling about exercise, which is like every time I find myself in a situation where I'm trying to exercise, if I'm like going to the gym or whatever, or like, mm-hmm. I had a trainer for a while last year, and I was constantly consumed by this feeling that I was wasting my time. But I think the reality is that, you know, going to the gym and being healthy, well, it's not really fair to say you're wasting your time. It's more of an investment of time. You're saying, well, I'm going to spend, you know, a couple hours a week doing this now. But really what's going to happen is the rest of the week, I'm going to have much more energy and focus because mm-hmm. I'm, you know, have physical health. And then also, like, in 10 years, my body will not deteriorate to the point where it prevents me from doing any work at all. And that's how I feel about the meditation, is like, for me, it's such an important way of a mode that if I'm going to have any control. So like the default, let me put it this way. If I don't do anything to control my day, the state of my day is that I'm constantly being texted and emailed and people are coming to tap on my shoulder and I'm getting pulled in 1,000 directions doing whatever mm-hmm. pops in anyone's head. And then I do that all day and I go home at the end of the day and nothing has gotten done. Like, I have all mm-hmm. these responsibilities and none of them are done. So I need to exercise some sort of control over the day. I need to come in and say no to a lot of things mm-hmm. in order to pick the things that need to get done and do them. Otherwise, I'll never do anything. That's like the one of the big challenges of my job that kind of sucks and I have to learn how to deal with. And for me, wasting I usually sit for, depending on how much time I have, 15 minutes or 30 minutes. Wasting that 15 minutes or 30 minutes in the morning where I'm just sitting there doing nothing, I just know, because I've sort of done the experiment a lot of times, that if I do it, I have a much better chance of having some control over my day, of being able to say, I'm not going to do that just because it's in my inbox right now. I'm going to save that for later. Whereas if I don't take a minute to collect myself and meditate and like take a shower, if I just get up in a panic and start rushing in and I had to run to the office for something, like, usually the rest of my day is shit.
Do you have a particular time then? Like, because you do the Buddhist approach, I assume you have like a specific place that you sit. But is it a morning thing or a nighttime thing, or just whenever it can fit in?
Well, I think it's like writing. It's like one of the big fallacies of, we've talked about this, I think, on this podcast.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
One of the big fallacies about writing is it's like, oh, I can't get my writing done because, well, I don't have quite the right pen and I'm not in a forest and the right background music isn't playing and it's not the right time of day. And it's like, well, you're kind of a shit writer. You're not really a writer if you have to have this like Disney World, you know, experience to be able to put words on the page. And the same is true of mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness meditation is just about being present wherever you are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in fact, there is a whole practice of mindfulness meditation where you're just like making tea or doing the dishes or going for a walk, but doing that in a mindful way. And that's mm-hmm, a fair, mm-hmm. I think that's all fair game. But the idea is like, you shouldn't need anything special. You shouldn't need any special circumstances. You should be able to meditate in the middle of a crowded, you know, space. It's all about just sitting there and being present. That being said, like, I of course have my preferences. Like, I have a little special cushion that I got on the internet and I sit there in my bedroom, usually after I shower in the morning, and, you know, I turn on a timer app on my phone and just sit there for 15 minutes and that's that. It's not a whole production, but mm-hmm, if I'm traveling mm-hmm. or whatever, like, I catch myself falling into that trap of like, oh, I don't have the right kind of cushion and, you know, there's too much background noise and the light's not right. And it's mm-hmm, like, no, mm-hmm. fuck that. Like, the whole point is just to sit there with a soft focus, a soft visual focus, and look at the wall. It doesn't matter. You should be able, it's sort of like if you can't really meditate anywhere, regardless of what your situation is, you're not really doing it correctly.
The only time I've had anything, I don't even want to say success. The only time I've ever had anything except failure with this, though, is to treat it more like working out. And so, like, you know, in the same way you're saying, like, oh, you shouldn't need to be, you know, Ron Swanson in a cabin somewhere with the right New Age music in order to write. And by the same token, you should be able, as long as you've got your workout clothes, you should be able to do some kind of a workout anywhere. But with all of that said, like any kind of a new habit you're trying to build, one tries to build, I feel like I have had the best success with trying to be consistent in terms of how and when I do it, especially. And because that's the only way. It's like, what I can tell you this, for one thing, I've never had any luck with trying to do it at night. That is not going to happen. For me, just for myself, like if it is going to happen, it's going to be 20 minutes in the morning. So I'm not saying that that's a guarantee that it's going to work, but I do know. And again, but now, on the other hand, that is also what has me, you know, pushing back sometimes. It's like, ugh, it's already 2 p.m. I got to go pick up my kids soon. Like with the time that I've got, the last thing I'm going to do is sit on an internet cushion and stare at a wall. But I do think having some kind of a structure to it, and, you know, not too much structure. Like you don't want to get Byzantine. But I think it does help to have a place that you do it. And if you need to change it, change it. But stick with, have a program and stick with it.
One thing that I actually found really helpful, because I sort of dove into this with the full-on intention of just doing a mindfulness practice, and I like we made fun of people this week and last week that need to be in a special place, but just having waves music in the background, like that was huge, because I realized the only time that I've truly been present in a place is on this beach that my family has property on, and the only time I go there is when I have no responsibilities and I can just like sit and be.
That's super interesting.
Yeah, and so maybe that I just need to sort of build on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it's something you're interested in pursuing, like do whatever works. Like, listen, here's my advice to someone who wants to start meditating. Like, in some ways, there's too much out there about meditation and too much is made of it. Mm-hmm. It's actually incredibly simple. All you need to do is sit there and try not to think of anything. And there's not really a wrong way to do it. The only wrong way to do it is to over intellectualize it or over systematize it to the point where you don't do it. But it's honestly that's part of what appeals to me about meditation is that you don't need anything to do it. It's a thought technology that you can take with you wherever you go.
Doing it wrong is part of doing it. That was the big breakthrough for me when I finally was able to do this for a little bit at a time. It was when I realized that doing it wrong is part of it. If you know what I mean, it's like I always felt like, oh God, what's wrong with me? I'm not zenned out. I'm not relaxed. I don't blah. And then I realized that agitation and sitting with it is part of what that thing is. It's basically here's your job. Your job is to sit here, and maybe with a timer or whatever it is. And just be with this. There aren't that many. I mean, there are like, I guess there are behavioral life hacks that get you to where you can do this. But once you're doing it, it's improbably simple in what you have to do. Even if it is not, it's simple, but it's not easy.
Right.
Yes, kind of.
Definitely.
But you used apps. So you were doing apps though, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about the world of meditation apps. So. So here's my, okay, so I've tried a lot of these. I think they're all shit. And the reason is I don't want to pay a microtransaction for a voice to tell me how to feel. I'm sure that's a good activity that a lot of people get some benefit out of. It's emphatically not what I want. Like, I want to sit there and try to empty my mind of thoughts. I'm not actually trying to have a voice guide me through a meditation on, you know, gratefulness or whatever. That's a very different experience than I'm trying to have meditating. To me, that's like almost one of the reasons for my suspicion of this, although again, like keep doing it if it works for you. I'm not saying don't do it or whatever. The reason I'm suspicious of it for me is like it feels like an overly like productized experience, which is like where you like press a button and you complete it and you check it off. And that's like the whole point of meditation is that you do it for your whole life and you never do it right. You always fail at it every time you sit down. That is the experience. That's not separate from the experience, that is the experience. So all these meditation apps I'm very suspicious of, and they all suck. But here's really all I want in life is like, could someone just make a fucking timer that reports to HealthKit when you use it?
Oh, right. Oh, wow. That's a really obvious idea that you do not see.
But of course, no one's made it because you couldn't really make a lot of money on it. But just fucking make a timer that dings a bell and then puts the dad on health kit saying, I meditated for...
Without having an orange background and a Buddha or a lady in yoga pants sitting on a rock.
Just, I don't understand. I mean, it's like if I knew, if I sort of understood the iOS environment well enough to like bang out an app, I feel like this is an app I could bang out in a weekend. Like literally just play a bell sound. Have it. Here's your options. Do you want to sit for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour? That's it. Those are your options. And then you press that, and it plays one bell to start, one bell to end, and then when you're done, it posts the data to HealthKit. As far as I know, I've downloaded like every meditation app, and none of them do this.
Well, they're all about gongs and singing bowls and stuff, but I don't want to beat this to death, but I do think there's a valuable distinction to make. If one is doing this to get zenned out, as Dan likes to say, if one is doing this for relaxation or for like, you know, straight up, if you have, how can I put this? If you are doing what you're calling meditation for a functional reason, which is okay, right? Like you go and read something like Jon Kabat-Zinn and like, for him, mindfulness meditation can have a huge role in things like recovering from cancer and all these different kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with wanting that functional piece, but like it seems like the kind of meditation that you're talking about here and that I'm talking about is something, I don't want to say purer, but I'm not doing it for a reason. I'm doing it because it's what I do. With that said, I think there is something to be said for what I'm going to call self-hypnosis or what I will call relaxation. I think that's very useful. I just think that concatenating those as being similar things is like, are you familiar with the idea of passive exercise? Have you ever seen the machines that like move your arms for you? Like if you have like mobility problems or...
Is that still a thing for like on people second. Who don't have...
And unclench. I'm sorry, Merlin, you were saying...
remember the butt exercises that were a thing?
Do I?
I don't know.
Two, three, four, and... I'm sorry, Alex, what was that?
God.
Butt exercises?
Oh, boy. Ooh. See, now I want to, I'm thinking like, okay, this is actually a pretty simple app, and I've been playing with Swift, and I want to try to make this, but and then I won't meditate. I'm just going to try to make a meditation app. Actually, Matt from Milkability might be able to do this. You listen to the show, Matt. Email me.
Matt, make me a goddamn timer that just posts to HealthKit. Is that even, I honestly don't even know how complicated the SDK for like posting a health kit is, but
that's a question I have. Yeah,
Who are you talking about? Are you talking about MB?
Yeah, I love MB.
I saw him at the comic meetup a little bit ago.
Oh,
big fan.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Here's the other thing. And Alex, you had mentioned you read about meditation a lot, and like it concerns me that there's this like meditation industry, and like Veronica and I were going to this escape room, and we wound up in this like crazy mall like the other day, and we were like looking at all the stores in this crazy mall, and there was literally like a meditation store, and they sold like crystals and DVDs and like scents and stuff like that. And I was like, how could this be possible? It feels very cynical to me, but it's also like, if you know anything about Buddhism, it's like very suspicious, the idea that you would need to buy the right things or like overly intellectualize it at all. And I thought I had this great little thing. Can I read a long, boring thing, as is my tradition
do.
On the podcast?
Please do.
Wouldn't be an episode without it.
Thank you. So this is a little excerpt I prepared. This is from a book I love that I really, really liked, although it may be too kind of boring and technical for most listeners. But anyway, it's by this psychologist named Mark Epstein. And he's a pretty accomplished practitioner and writer about Buddhism, as well as a pretty accomplished psychotherapist. And he wrote a book about, it's called Thoughts Without a Thinker, about psychology and Buddhism. It's pretty cool. So he has this great story in here about the sort of Buddhism as it relates to the intellectual tradition. I should just preface this by saying, like, this is interesting to me because, like, I have the, like, philosophy personality type. Where, like, Tommy and I were just joking about this the other night where it was, like, I failed in every academic pursuit in my entire life. Like, I was, like, constantly getting in trouble in school because...
Real quick, to preface, Tommy is one of our office mates and a game designer, and would you classify him as a philosopher?
I don't know. Tommy's he's a philosophy writer.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Are there two Tommies?
Yeah, there's a bunch of Tommies, I would
assume.
There's
many Toms.
Oh, okay. Thanks. So, no, who's the Tommy who you're always talking about? Is that one of your co-founders, or is this a different Tommy? Who's the Tommy I'm following on Twitter? Who is that?
Oh, co-creator of Secret Hitler, Tommy Rangies. So Tommy writes he created this character years ago called Philosophy Bro that explains philosophy like a bro, and I thought it was really funny, and I'm a fan. So Tommy and I were talking about how we constantly like got in trouble in school, and it was because like in any discipline, like if you're in like math class and they're like, just do it this way, and you're like, why? You get in trouble, you get like yelled at. Or even when I was in college and I was a political science major, and I'd be like, well, why? Like, why would we do it that way?
Non-compliant.
Yeah, you'd be like, you're going to lose a letter grade for, like, not formatting your paper right or, you know, whatever. That was constantly how I was getting in trouble, and I hated all academics. Until you find philosophy. And in philosophy, if someone tells you something is a certain way and you say why, you get published. That's the whole game. That's mm-hmm. all there is. So philosophy is, like, the troublemaker's discipline. And I love that. That's my whole worldview.
Oh, that's good.
I love that. I love that you're supposed to overly sort of think about everything. But one of the reasons that Buddhism and mindfulness meditation is like really meaningful to me is it's almost like an answer to that. And this is the story from Mark Epstein that I wanted to read that kind of talks about that. So he says, a wealthy patient confided to me that after having a gourmet meal, he craves a cognac. After the cognac, a cigarette. After the cigarette, he'll start to think about making love. After making love, perhaps another cigarette. Soon he begins to crave sleep, preferably without any disturbing dreams. The search for comfort through sense pleasures rarely has an end. The second noble truth of the Buddha takes its cue from this experience. It is traditionally described as the truth of the arising of dukkha, and its central tenet is that the cause of suffering is craving or thirst. The Buddha was concerned with how to escape from just this kind of self-created suffering, with how to avoid the pitfalls of self-inflation or debasement. Buddha, we must remember, did not teach a speculative psychology. He taught a practical one designed to liberate practitioners from dissatisfaction. I do not teach theory, he said. I analyze. He refused to answer questions that would feed either the tendency to cling to some kind of absolute romanticized ideal, or that would enable nihilistic distancing, the two trends that are subsumed under the headings of existence and non-existence, and that became the basis for many powerful religions, psychological and philosophical dogmas. There were, in fact, 14 subjects that the Buddha repeatedly refused to discuss, all of them searching for absolute certainty. Whether the world is eternal or not, or both, or neither. Whether the world is finite in space, or infinite, or both, or neither. Whether an enlightened being exists after death, or does not, or both, or neither. Whether the soul is identical with the body, or different from it. The Buddha taught that to attempt a definitive answer to these questions would give the wrong idea, that to do so would only feed the tendency to cling to an absolute or to nihilistically reject, neither of which he found useful. He never taught the existence of a true self, nor did he ever support the idea of a chaotic universe in which, quote unquote, nothing matters, and individual actions are of no importance. Rather, he encouraged a consistent doubting of all fixed assumptions about the nature of things. In a teaching he gave to a skeptical follower named Malan Kapita, he likened the asking of questions about the ultimate nature of things to a man wounded by an arrow, refusing to have the arrow taken out until all of his questions about who the assassin was, where he came from, what he looked like, what kind of bow he was using, and what make of arrow had been shot had been addressed. That man would die, emphasized the Buddha, without ever having learned this.
It's pretty good.
Ugh. Good shit.
Really good shit.
So the point isn't to like, anyway, my whole thing is the point isn't to like read it in a book and get it right and then do it. It's, you just have to fucking sit there.
I've read that several times.
As this book clearly demonstrates and all of the things that I just read clearly prove, there's no right way to do it, right? You're just supposed to sit there and suck at it. And the whole notion of an app mm-hmm. where you just follow the instructions and tick the box off is, well, you're denying yourself the whole point of it.
One thing that really killed me about the apps, like there are a lot of guided meditations, but there's also just like straight up instructions. And like they're very, very costly. I am all for like the new app subscription model. Like I want to give all my money to the Omni Group and Bear, but like $10 a month for 5 minutes of some guy telling me to sit straight up. I don't know. I kind of got some icky feelings about the 10% happier as well as there's a new one making the rounds. What is it? Timeless. But there, I do want to recommend two apps because I know people are still going to ask what we should use. There's this, like, it's almost a game. It's called Pause. And what happens is there's just a little dot on the screen, and you follow, you put your finger on it, and you just follow it around. And if you go too fast, it's like, hey, slow down. And it's kind of weird, and I don't know. I just found it pleasant in the way that I find a lot of the more, like, relaxing video games where you just kind of explore and walk around. But it's just incredibly simple. As well as Pacifica, it's not super popular, but it's kind of like an all-in-one health thing, and it does integrate with Apple Health and does sleep. And actually, I'm looking. I think it might do Mindful Minutes. I should look into this more, but it like will take in data from if you use Sleep Plus Plus or automatic sleep or auto sleep, whatever it's called. So
Pacifica,
yeah. And okay. And it's also Mel Super is super into it too, because if you're the kind of person who wants to just like journal your thoughts and see like the correlation between like did I sit today, did I exercise today, that sort of thing. And I think this is the only app that does it specifically with mood, which was interesting.
Oh yeah, sort of like Exist. You can do that as well. Yeah, but I see what you're saying. This is interesting.
It's not. It doesn't look very iOS-y. I think I'm biased because look at those pretty waves going. Oh, and it's a sunset.
A couple at the beach.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. I think I got rid of the couple. And there are some guided meditations if that's your thing. But there's just also like nice campfire noises and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. I pay for apps, but. $10 a month, like, come, I don't know.
But you know, it's I'm with you, and I have lots of books. I've read a lot. I'm practically like an amateur scholar on this stuff, even mm-hmm. as I have not had much success with doing it. And that is really telling. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. so, like, it's beyond ironic that I know all of these kinds of things, but knowing all those things has not made me one iota better about doing it. I can explain why I'm doing it, or not more often not doing it, but it's. That's not the point. The point is not the reading. The point is doing the thing. And it's like there are certain kinds of like I joked. I was telling you about how like if I start following my breathing, sometimes I feel a little panicky. I've turned down my breathe reminder on my watch to like the least often setting because I was failing at it so much.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I would just dismiss it. It was causing me stress that I wasn't mm-hmm. doing the thing that's supposed to make me less stressed out, which is silly. But I mean, like that's a thing that was happening.
So Merlin, you've mentioned like, or I think you said on our text chain or whatever, like whenever you sat down to meditate this week, you got like too stressed out and you couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't been sleeping as well as I usually do. It's not like anything like catastrophic has happened this week. It was just, if you look at my, my Fitbit is very erratic this week. My sleep is very strange. Like last night, owing to the incident, I slept for like 4 hours and I usually sleep like at least 8. So that's one reason I'm so goofy today.
Here's my question. If you sit down and meditate and it makes you like incredibly anxious.
Sometimes, yes.
Then what?
Then what happens? Oh, you mean in terms of like dealing with the dreading it or?
No, in terms of sitting there and doing it and feeling really anxious.
Well, my resistance to doing that keeps me from even getting to the point where I'll feel that, which is why I kind of want to do over with this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where my internet cushion is. Like I'll find every reason in the world to not do this. And I'll think I'll just lay here and do it. And like one of the things I do know that I do believe is like laying down doesn't count. Unless you have like a physical reason for needing to lay down. Like the idea of the dignity of sitting there and the breathing and the whatnot is very important. I want to do over with this because I want to do this legit. And maybe without an app, you know. Doesn't have to be for this week, but let me put it this way. I'm gonna try and start doing this in the morning.
Well, I'm just saying, like nobody, like I meditate, like I have a pretty consistent like meditation practice. Like I'm pretty good with it, but like it's never like it's never appealing to meditate. I'm never like, oh boy, like now I get to sit here and do nothing for 20 minutes. I can't wait for this. Like it's always.
But it's like any kind of habit where like there have been times, whether it's a habit of writing or a habit of working out or a habit of, in my case in the past, like not eating a certain kind of food. And they all go in a somewhat similar fashion, a somewhat similar arc. If they succeed at all, they succeed because I said or I realized that this is something I'm not going to fix today. Right. Like this is something I'm not going to fix by doing this a couple times. It's something where like I'm going to have to keep doing this, whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to have to just keep doing this until it's like not a thing that I'm thinking about doing anymore because it's a thing that I do.
I'm interested in why you think lying down doesn't count. So the days that I did do it, I would do it in the morning and have a more traditional, you know, just sitting up, lotus position, whatever. And at night, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna lie down. And then you sort of, it's like a different sensation with like how you're breathing and how your muscles relax. I don't know. It's interesting. Like, although maybe you're right, it's like horizontal prayer doesn't.
But I buy the idea that part of the exercise is maintaining a certain amount of alertness.
Right,
like that,
right.
That really works for me. Mm-hmm. I get that. And maybe again, this is maybe my own mental hang up, but this thing of like, oh, I'm doing this, as I said last week, I'm doing this because I'm stressed out. Mm-hmm. So therefore, mm-hmm. this is a thing that right. I'm going to do to not stress out. Like, probably not the best day to start doing it, you know, when you're feeling stressed out. But, you know, in that case, it's. I'm doing it for the wrong reasons and with the wrong sort of intention, as they say. Jazz break.
Do you guys want to hear what my main man, David Avocado Wolf, says about gravity? He says, gravity is not intrinsic to matter. The Carl Sagan idea that was sold to us on Cosmos on PBS was sold to us deliberately to actually confuse us, just so you know that. There's people who have known that gravity is a force that can be displaced. There's people that have known that since the 50s or even earlier than that. But by screwing up, confusing our mind about things and giving us incorrect theories, we were brainwashed into a totally different belief system, that gravity is intrinsic to all matter. We're fighting gravity. We have to push our way through gravity to launch a craft up into outer space. All this nonsense.
There's people all around the globe who believe the Earth is flat. Earth is
flat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that having a lot of knowledge of gravity and having all the equations that describe gravity is really holding rocket scientists back. Ooh. And if they would just be willing to get rid of that, we'd launch a lot more stuff into space successfully.
If we stop listening to fucking science cucks like fucking Carl Sagan, we could finally get our mushrooms up into the biome. Mm-hmm.
What is he? Mm-hmm. He's big science.
Rejoice, rejoice. He's huge science.
Oh, if only we could get to Mars. Merlin, it's your challenge this week.
Digga, challenge. This is a thing that I would like you guys to try, and I'm willing to tune this challenge to your own interests and enthusiasm for doing this. I want you to join me in an experiment I've been doing. I've been talking about this on Back to Work. I want you to use your voice for more things. So what I've been doing
is... I'm into this.
This is what I've... And then hang on. We'll make this if Max is
Siri,
about this.
Send
we'll
a text to Merlin Man.
Oh, God.
No. Send a text to Merlin Man.
Tell Max Temkin, suck my balls.
It says Siri, send a text to Maryland. Hang on. Right, let me try one more time. Hang on. Siri, send a text to Merlin. Okay, hang on. Siri, send a text to Merlin Man.
You're doing it wrong. Listen. Tell Max Temkin to suck my balls.
No. Stop. Okay. All right, hang on. Siri, tell Merlin Man to suck my balls. Okay, it's sending it to the...
No,
don't send
balls.
That. It started composing it to the campaign finance chair of a major campaign that I worked on. Oh, no, it didn't actually send that, did it? Whoa, wait.
Okay,
hang on. Why won't it send you this message? Do you understand this?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it takes time. It's all part of the challenge.
Siri, send a text to Merlin Man. Tell Merlin to suck my balls.
Oh, my God. Oh, the straws are too short, the showers are too narrow.